Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with, to begin with, in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the counsel and the wisdom of your word. Thank you for how that your word teaches us, guides us, molds and shapes us, and paints us a picture so that with every passing day, more and more, as we read and meditate on your word, we come to know you better and better. We come to know you, who you, our Lord and Savior, are and what you desire to do in us and through us and in our lives. Thank you for your kingdom and the wisdom and the grace of your kingdom as well. Father, more and more, help us to fall more in love with you and with your word with every passing day and empower us all to become much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. Isaac is going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Hey, love, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I ask that you'd speak today. In the book of John, it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And it's talking about Jesus, that Jesus was with you, he is you, and he is the full embodiment, the full message of who you are. And Father, all the scriptures testify to who you are, and they are fully who you are. It says that you are love, and love is fully who you are. So Father, I ask that in these scriptures today, that you would reveal yourself to us, that we'd see more of your character by actually seeing you. That it wouldn't just be words coming in one ear and going out the other, but that we'd be attentive to who you are. Thank you so much, Father, for speaking to us. Thank you so much, Father, for being a present God. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. At this time, I want to share an article that's from the AFA Stand. And if you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. It's entitled, "Christ, Our Passover Lamb." Again, Christ, Our Passover Lamb. Exodus 12, verses 5 to 7. "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it." Exodus 12, 5 to 7. Then Exodus chapter 12, verse 11. "And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." Then Exodus chapter 12, verses 12 to 13. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Again, Exodus 12, 12 to 13. Then Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 43. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. Luke 2, 41 to 43. And then Matthew chapter 26, verse 1. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings that he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." Matthew 26, 1. And then finally, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. "For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been crucified." The Lord Jesus Christ is the key figure in all of the Word of God. He is, in fact, the Word of God. Passover is a huge topic in all of God's Word. The powerful story of the Passover first unfolds in Exodus chapter 12. From there, God clearly commands his people to observe the Passover as a feast every year. The Passover lamb is central to the celebration, and the Lord Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. So the title and symbol of the lamb are one more picture to help us better understand who our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. It also helps us better understand why he came and the tremendous sacrifice he made for us. In Exodus 12, the lamb was killed and its blood was used to save the lives of the firstborn Hebrews. This happened in Egypt on the Passover. Similarly, the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself, and he died on a cruel Roman cross to make a way for us to be saved. And it is his blood that washes away our sins and makes us new in him. It's by and through Christ that we are saved, transformed, and made brand new in him. The sacrificial Passover lamb's blood was applied to the door of a household, and that act of faith and obedience caused the destroyer to pass over the household, allowing the firstborn of that household to live. There were many houses in the land of Egypt where there had been no blood applied. In those houses, the firstborn died. Similarly, when a person receives Christ as Lord and Savior of his or her life, salvation comes to that person's life. Christ's applied blood washes away our sins, and God's judgment passes over us. The wonderful and powerful story of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, is found in all four Gospels. Each account is profound, stirring, and edifying. We would be wise to take time individually and with our families to read all four accounts. Read and meditate on them. Take time to really think about the pain, torture, and cruel death the Lord endured so that you and I could be saved. Allow them to speak to your life and heart and bless you. Finally, allow the story of Christ, our Passover lamb, to stir you to be a passionate witness for Christ. Every day of our lives, we should be about the work of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every day, we should be involved in the work of making and encouraging disciples of Jesus Christ. Christ, our Passover lamb, gave himself fully and died for us. May we forever passionately live for him. If you desire to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and desire to spend eternity in heaven with him and avoid hell, you can. In order to make that step, we invite you to, from your heart, pray this or a similar prayer and invite Christ into your heart and commit your life to him, even now. If you'd like to commit your life to the Lord, would you simply pray this prayer with me, even now? Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I recognize that I've sinned and done wrong. I repent of all my sins. Forgive me for all the wrong things I've done. I do believe that you died on the cross to pay for all my sins. And I believe that 3 days later you rose from the dead so that I could be saved. Thank you, Lord, for loving me enough to die for me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Become my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. You said in your word that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord Jesus, save me and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. And I now confess I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, we're hoping to be in touch with you. And also, if you'd like to get a copy of the article Email us at joseph@afr.net. So if you committed your life to Christ, please do get in touch with us again. My email, joseph@afr.net. We pick up now reading through the passion and resurrection of Christ as found in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. So he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he promised and sought opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat." So they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare?" And he said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There, make ready." So they went and found it, just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, "With fervent desire, I've desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail." Verses 1 through 31, Luke chapter 22. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading through the Passion and Resurrection narrative found in the Gospel of Luke. We'll be right back.
The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him.
music of Carrie Job with Forever. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue now reading through the Passion and Resurrection passages found in the Gospel of Luke, picking up at Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. And he said to them, when I sent you without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything? They said, nothing. Then he said to them, but now he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. So they said, Lord, look, we have two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, permit even this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, and the elders who had come to him, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. But he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you also are of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him. And having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is the one who struck you?" And many other things they blasphemously spoke against him. As soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him into their council, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God." Then they all said, "Are you then the Son of God?" So he said to them, "You rightly say that I am." And they said, "What further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth." Luke chapter 23. Then the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Then Pilate asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him and said, "It is as you say." So Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no fault in this man." But they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. That very day, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for previously they had been at enmity with each other. Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, said to them, "You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him. And indeed, nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For it was necessary for him to release one to them at the feast." And they all cried out at once, saying, "Away with this man and release to us Barabbas," who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder. Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus again, called out to them. But they shouted, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Then he said to them the third time, "Why, what evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified, and the voices of those men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested, and he released to them the one they requested, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison. But he delivered Jesus to their will. Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, blessed are the barren wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do this, for if they do these things in the greenwood, what will be done in the dry?" There were also two others, criminals, led with them to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew: "This is the King of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision and deed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock, where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Luke chapter 24. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Verses 1 through 3, Luke chapter 24. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading through the Passion and Resurrection narrative found in the Gospel of Luke. We'll be right back.
shadows deepen. But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new?
We do.
Is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming?
It is.
Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst?
It is.
Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us?
He does.
Does the Spirit move among us? And is Jesus our Messiah, hold forever those he loves? Does our God intend to dwell again with us? Is anyone worthy?
Andrew Peterson with Is He Worthy? Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue now reading through the Passion and Resurrection passage as found in the Gospel of Luke, picking up Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going. And he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Verses 1 through 53, all of Luke chapter 24. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we read through the Passion and Resurrection passage as found in the Gospel of Luke. And our ongoing encouragement to you is during this Lenten season coming up to the unique day that we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We would encourage you to take the time to read through each of the Passion narratives as found in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But if you don't manage to do that, at least read them through at least one of the Gospels, and then take time to go over it again. There's so much empowerment, wisdom, grace, and strength to be drawn from taking the time to read and meditate on these things. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful gift of your word. Thank you, Father, for loving us with an everlasting love. You loved us so much that you were willing to come to this world to live, suffer, and die on the cross to make a way for us to be saved. And then 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that we could be saved and spend all eternity with you. Lord, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of evangelism and discipleship. Stir us to be believers that live a lifestyle of passionately seeking to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and to be disciple makers as a lifestyle. Help us to be faithful disciples and help us to faithfully make disciples as a lifestyle, more and more faithfully with every passing day. Help us to be mindful that in the economy of time, there's no time to be wasted. We're to be about your business every day of our lives. Help us to do that faithfully. In spite of our shortcomings and the mistakes we make, thank you, Lord, for the fact that you can and will use us wonderfully and mightily to accomplish your will. Thank you for the chance to be vessels that you use in just such a way. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you know you have never given your heart to Christ and invited Christ to become the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a wonderful day, a great day to be saved. If you're one who's listening and you're not sure where you stand with the Lord, or you're one who you know you're not where you need to be, you can pray to receive Christ or pray this as a rededication prayer, recommitting your heart and your life to the Lord. Would you pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, we're very much wanting to connect with you. We'd like to be in touch with you. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource material that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. would you please get in touch with us once again? That email, joseph@afr.net. We definitely hope to hear from you again. joseph@afr.net. Please email us as soon as you have opportunity. Also, if you'd like to get a copy of the article that we shared earlier, Christ Our Passover Lamb from the AFA Stand, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get that to you again. Christ Our Passover Lamb, joseph@afr.net. Thanks for listening. Hope that you will take time to read through the Passion and Resurrection accounts as found in the Word of God, again, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, during this season. It'll bless you tremendously if you do, you and your family. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.